This is The Annex, a sociology podcast. I'm Joseph Cohen from the City University of New York. Today, Stanford University Press faces cuts. Our panelists are Michelle Silver from the University of Toronto and Gabriel Rossman from UCLA. This episode was recorded on May 1st, 2019. So for a brief moment, Stanford University Press was facing some cutbacks. The issue blew up on Twitter, and Stanford administration relented. But it's an interesting story that speaks to how higher ed is evolving. Stanford University apparently subsidizes its press to the order of about $1.7 million a year. And recently, the school's provost proposed cutting the subsidy, saying that Stanford was, quote, a second-rate press. And he proposed using the money for fellowships, although it was noted that these savings would fund about 3 graduate fellowships per year if you take the scheme of market pricing fellowships as a guide to how much these things really cost. In any case, the press puts out 130 books a year and has put out some amazing books over the past few years. Danny Friedman's book, which was an excellent book on financial security and financial advice. It won tons of disciplinary awards. Neda Magbula's book was also published by Stanford, another excellent and acclaimed book. Chris Stobel's book. I mean, these are terrific books, very high-profile sociology pieces. I don't see how Stanford University would be considered a second-rate press. And to me, this felt like, I guess on one hand, this sounds like a throwaway line that somebody who just wants to cut the subsidy would say, like an MBA type who loses a sense of what universities are there to do, which is to put out ideas, put out thought.
I honestly don't know how it ranks. I mean, because they didn't just cut sociology, they cut everything, right? They wanted to affect it. And, you know, it may be that they're, a pretty good sociology press, but who knows how they are in other fields. I mean, I honestly don't know.
It could be, but it's a great press. Like, no matter what, Stanford is a high prestige university. And for
But now you're basically saying the same thing with those surveys that show that Princeton Law School is a great law school. Like, I mean, you honestly don't know how good of a press Stanford is overall, aside from sociology. You're qualified to give an opinion on sociology. But neither you nor I are terribly qualified to give an opinion on how they are overall across all the disciplines. They might be great. I don't know.
I don't know. But one thing that rubs me the wrong way is I just get a sense that universities are – well, there's two ways to interpret this, okay? The unfavorable interpretation that I have is like universities seem to be like losing their sense of like the fact that they're – you know, they're in the knowledge production business and the knowledge dissemination business. And when I see universities cutting things like their university press, but still investing heavily in football, I ask myself, well, are they just losing all sense of what they're doing, like their core mission? On the other hand, maybe we don't really need presses anymore. Maybe they're an artifact of like 20th century scholarship.
Well, wait a minute. Football is one of the 3 core missions of the university. Where, I mean, you know the famous quote of the job of a university president is to provide the alumni with football victories, the faculty with parking, and the undergraduates with sex.
And then straight to the top.
Yeah.
And like this idea, listen, I'm sure Stanford is good in whatever, is generally good in its field. And there's like I just imagine some U.S. News rankings obsessed person who's all mad because they're number 3 instead of number 7 and not thinking about like the fact that at least in our field, they're putting out very good knowledge. And I don't know. I just get a sense that this is a byproduct. Now, the uncharitable is they're losing their way, but maybe do we need presses? Like, are presses serving the function that they once did? Can't we just put stuff on the internet now? Like,
well, a few people pointed out that the irony is that Stanford is still requiring, not every department, obviously, but many departments at Stanford are still going to require that you publish an academic press book for tenure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you just put your 300-page manuscript on socialarchive.org, they're not going to accept that. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, it's kind of a tragedy of the commons in that, you know, universities have, you know, generally the story of higher ed is one of cross-subsidization, where you have some things that lose money, other things that make money, and then they kind of cross-subsidize each other.
Right.
And when you try and rationalize it, you'll end up saying like, oh, this function loses money, we should outsource that. But you don't realize that it's cross-subsidizing something else, and overall it makes sense. So the classic one would be something like, you know, the phone in your office may have like a $100 phone bill that gets charged to your department, but that's just because that's how they also pay for the Wi-Fi.
Right.
Is, you know, and overall it makes sense. And it's kind of like how your water bill implicitly pays for garbage collection. And so it costs more than just the water would cost by itself. But, you know, there is this cross-subsidization where universities in general and Stanford, you know, like all universities, depends on academic presses for the research mission. Mm-hmm. And but if it is one that basically loses money, unless you basically turn yourself into a trade press like Oxford has.
Right.
And so in that respect, you know, it's a tragedy of the commons where, you know, Stanford needs university presses to exist so that their faculty can publish, but it doesn't need Stanford to exist because their faculty can always publish with Chicago or Princeton or Columbia or Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
I've never published with UC Press.
Right.
Well, the number that I wanted to point out is that Stanford's endowment is the fourth largest in the U.S. So, and okay, that's a number that's like not really arguable, right? It's like $26 billion probably and growing. Mm-hmm. So there, it's like if they can't make this work, then who can, right?
Yeah. If CUNY's not going to do it, if, you know.
Well, a lot of that is land value because Stanford is basically the size of a national park, and it's in the middle of a county where the average commercial rent is $7,000 per square foot per month.
Right.
So,
but they have billions in their endowment of like financial.
But the endowment includes all their assets, including land. So, I mean, the way that they, in practice, what they would have to do to make that endowment liquid is they would have to take some of the land near the train station, which is currently just a huge park, and turn into condos.
Yeah.
Which I actually wouldn't oppose because there's a severe housing shortage there, which is one of the reasons why their grad stipends are like $50,000.
But the thing is, we're talking about a $1.7 million subsidy that the university brings to the press, and we're talking about an endowment of $26 billion. So I don't think they're going to need to sell any property.
Can't they just let in a bunch of middling ability rich kids?
I think the more relevant comparison is not their endowment, which isn't very liquid, and you know the interest on that is already allocated. But just compared to the operating budget of Stanford, you know, I agree with your implication that a million and change is rounding error
for them. I would say,
yeah, not for me personally. I don't have a million in my couch cushion.
No, but also it's like core to the mission. And you know what's weird? Just linking it back to the last study, you know, it's just so odd that schools run their own presses, but like rely on commercial presses who extort their libraries. I mean, yeah. we don't need Elsevier. UC has its own press. Like if it really felt motivated to, you know, create replacements, it has not just the resources, but it has institutions in place that
you're missing the point of the Elsevier thing. It's not that the UC doesn't want people to publish in Elsevier. It's that they know that our scholars need to be able to read articles in Elsevier. And I've attended several faculty senate meetings, and it's the medical school faculty who are mad at the boycott because Elsevier apparently, I mean, Elsevier is relatively weak in sociology. Mm-hmm. They publish a handful of social journals. And I publish in one of them, but I'm still willing to say it's not terribly important in sociology. But apparently in medicine, it publishes a pretty high proportion of all medical journals. And so the medical school faculty, it's not that they want to that they're saying, oh, we need to publish in the Elsevier journals. It's that we need to be able to keep up with the literature that's published in the Elsevier journals, and it slows down our lit review if we have to, you know, take 2 days to request an article through interlibrary loan instead of just clicking on it.
Oh, I wouldn't make the med school angry. They actually make money, unlike us.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, I mean, I was saying we don't really know, but I am a member, a board member for one of the Stanford University Press lines. So Fred Wary and Jen Lena have an imprint on culture and economy there. And and I'm a member of their board, which in practice just means that I get sent an article, a book manuscript once a year, maybe every other year to review. But you know, when you do that, they compensate you by giving you $500 in free books or $250 in cash. So, you know, like all academics, I'm a book hoarder because I forget what it was like last time I moved. And, you know, and so I went through the catalog and there are some great books in there, you know, that weren't sociology. You know, there's some great art history books or some really good anthropology books. So, you know, at least in those fields, it seems like they actually are publishing good stuff, although I don't know the reputation in those fields.
You've been listening to The Annex, an academic sociology podcast. You can visit our show site at sociocast.org/annex. We are on Twitter at SocAnnex and on Facebook, The Annex Sociology Podcast. Our producer is Liseth Moreno. Music by Lena Orsa. I'm Joseph Cohen. Thank you for listening.